Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 11 of Marketing Elements Podcast. And today's podcast, we have Charles Lumpkin from Charles Lumpkin and Partners here in Atlanta. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Timothy. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. I saw you speak just recently, and I definitely wanted to get you on the podcast. So, and one of the really cool things you talked about was how people are doing search, but are also leaving out social, that search has been such a good tool that they may not be looking to the future. They're kind of sticking with what they have.
Right, right. Well, it's, the presentation that I think that you saw was Skate Where They Ain't.
Yeah.
And it's, you've got to have search. Search is a core tenet of online marketing, and it's really a fantastic vehicle for driving customer acquisitions and profitability. And it's you definitely need it, and you got to use it. And in fact, put a large portion of your budget towards it. But what I'm trying to encourage people to do now is look outside the box a little bit and go into things like social and mobile or behavioral targeting, all of these kinds of elements that these kinds of marketing that are really doing well and starting to make huge inroads. Just about 2 weeks ago, Hitwise said that Facebook passed Google in terms of traffic. And, as we have to take information from those third-party councils like Hitwise with a grain of salt, as they're kind of observational. I like to have Google pixeled and Facebook pixeled, but we have to, they're observational tools. But the fact that we can even start the conversation up that says, hey, that's a lot of traffic. That's a tremendous amount of traffic.
Yeah.
So as marketers, it's our responsibility to go in and make sure that we have a plan, or we're at least playing with these things, trying to figure out and understand how these environments work and how we can best market into them.
Definitely. Yeah, I think social is really big right now, and I think mobile is going to be the next really big hotspot with marketing. And people are kind of sitting there. A lot of people I know are just kind of sitting there like, well, I don't know about mobile. I'm like, well, get in there. Learn about it. Because it's coming. The iPhone, the Google phones, Android phones, everything's coming. And smartphones are only going to grow. So get in there and play and learn about it. So when someone does want it, like a client wants it or you want it for your business, you're not going, okay, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
So
it's a brand new world. So
definitely.
You know, you got to think about it in similarly complex ways to search.
Definitely. I think mobile is, I was talking with a friend of mine just last week that even in other countries, mobile is going to be big because they're going to skip from computer, land-based, go straight to smartphones because it's going to be easier for them. And I was like, there's a whole world of opportunity out there if you know how to capitalize on it early.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes out. And with the new iAds for the iPhone and all the Google ads, it's going to be really big.
Yeah, no kidding. iAds in particular is, to just kind of caveat that, at this stage in the game, it's really only for big brand marketers. So, their minimum campaign size is $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go in with that, you got to go in with gusto.
Definitely.
So, they kind of cut out a tremendously large section of the market doing that, but definitely something to keep on our radar.
Definitely.
Google Mobile Google Mobile Search is starting to trend up very well right now. There's a lot of these display, banner ads that you can get a hold of through AdMob and many other kind of mobile networks that is good stuff if you buy it correctly and buy it smartly.
Definitely. Definitely. I think that's the key pretty much any marketing lately is you can do it, but you need to buy it wisely and look into it, not just go out there and be like, oh, okay. Because watching one of your videos where you're talking about search, and you're like, the painting example, and it's like, okay, you could buy paint, but would it really help you sell the picture of Monet that you have?
Right.
And I think that's what more and more people are doing is the long tail marketing so they can get directly to the people they want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the most important things lately.
Yeah, absolutely. you know, when it comes to social, in search, you've got the long tail stuff. Really, you need to hit every market mm-hmm. that, you know, kind of every keyword variation that's not so far out, like paint, and you're trying to sell a Monet, your toast. You're not going to sell a Monet that way. You know, but paintings, probably not either. It's probably pretty broad. But you want to cover all of the, certainly all the long tail areas and just in some of the broad variations that do cover your marketplace. When it comes to social, everybody, there are very few people, you know, in the country, in the world for that matter, that really understand how to buy social ads right now, particularly yeah. Facebook ads, because Facebook's where, you know, MySpace has their own platform and it's cool, it works in its own right, but Facebook is just a tremendous amount of inventory. I mean, it is tremendous. You go out and you launch the right style of campaign, and you're just going to get blasted through millions of impressions very quickly. But a lot of people make mistakes. The mistake that a lot of people make when they go out and they try to buy their first Facebook campaign is they go and they kind of do one ad, and sometimes they don't even put an image on it, but sometimes they do. Most of the time, there's not a lot of thought behind what the ad says or what the image is. You know, and then they go and they pick, like, just a large swath. They're like, yeah, my market's 25 to 55-year-old men, and they go and select that target. You know, it tends to not work out very well yeah. for them. They might have a click-through rate that's, like, a 0.02%. That's 0.02%. Eat the bitsy teeny-weeny.
Yeah.
And, you know, that ad gets turned off pretty shortly. Just that's the way the system works. If it doesn't work, they don't get enough yield out of it. Mm-hmm. So when you're going out and doing these social ads, what you need to think about is two things. You've got a target layer and a creative layer. You need to not just go out and from the target perspective, you need to not just go out and select, you know, 25 to 55 year old men. You need to bucket those up and say, okay, you know, say 5-year buckets there, 25 to 30, 30 to 35, 35 to 40, you know, on up. The truth is that 55 year old men are not going to respond generally to the same kinds of advertisements that 25 year old men are. It's just the way of the world. So you want to go out and segment out those buckets a lot more deeply than most people are out the gate. Then if you add, you know, keywords or other kinds of targeting parameters on that, geo-targeting, whatever, you're going to essentially want to create a tree of targets. So you'll have the 25-year-old that are interested in 25-year-old males that are interested in sailing, and then you'll have the 25-year-old males that are interested in golf. Then you have the 30-year-olds interested in sailing, the 30-year-olds interested in golf. So you're really creating these pretty pretty minute segments. And that's how you need to think about it when you're going in and doing target selection for these kinds of campaigns. Then the next layer is to go in and talk about the ads, so the actual ads that you're putting on into those markets. So what I do is I encourage people to think about wildly different types of creative advertising that they can put out there. So, you know, if you've got that wide swath and you've got 25-year-olds and you've got 55-year-olds, they're going to have different interests. So you want to think about the different kinds of people that are, you know, that are in those segments. Say, okay, what are they interested in? And then create different styles, wildly different ads. And essentially, you might have, you know, two different images and three different, you know, three different headlines or whatever it is, and you want to test each of those into each one of those segment buckets that you laid out in the targeting layer step. So at the end of the day, some ads are going to work well into the 55-year-old. Some ads are going to work well into the 25-year-old. Whole sections of the tree, you know, the whole 35 section might fall out if they aren't responsive at all, and then you just kind of continually push new creative out there and try to reinvigorate all the parts of the target tree that you put together.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you kind of reiterate what I've heard from a lot of people I know in search is you need to test your creative. Don't just rely on just one.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the buckets, keep continually creating new ones, trying out, seeing what works in search or social. And they keep saying so many clients and so many people don't do that. They want to come up with one thing and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not like it's that expensive to test it. It's like, do it in there, but they just want to stick with their same old, same old. So.
Right. I mean, well, the truth is, social, if you don't test, you're set.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot more forgiving in search because you can write a really bad ad and just put it out there on the engine and you're going to get some click. If you have a really bad ad in social and you put it out there, you're toast. Like, you'll get some clicks and then it'll get shut down because it's not providing enough yield to Facebook.
Definitely. So we'll try to transition one of your videos that I saw, which was very interesting to me that I haven't heard anyone say this, is if you're going to start search, start with Bing. And when I saw the title, I was like, huh? And then when I saw the video, it made perfect sense of why to start in Bing, especially if you're just starting. So if
right.
you could share why you think Bing is a better starting place than Google.
So, you know, I'm an entrepreneur and I've started several companies. And my whole drive in marketing has been to understand how to enter markets efficiently and profitably. You know, there are some clients that come in and they're like, okay, we've got this budget, right, and we need to maximize leads or profit or whatever with that budget. And, you know, they haven't had anything before, but the budget's large enough where they have to use Google out the gate. So I'll caveat that a little bit. But if you're a smaller guy, startup, you know, just getting your site off the ground, I encourage you to go and test in the Bing first. A, it's cheaper, right? Yeah. So the clicks are cheaper. In some markets, you're talking an order of magnitude cheaper. You know, it could be 5, 10, 20 times cheaper in some markets. But it's also a lot more lenient. Running a Google AdWords campaign these days is pretty unforgiving. It's pretty brutal in a lot of markets. The clicks are super expensive. You have to make sure the groupings are very tight and very well managed with relevant ad copy and landers. For every keyword, they go out and assign a quality score to it. And the other engines have that to some degree, but Google is just, I mean, it's brutal. I mean, they will go out, if you have a quality score of 3, 4, 5 on some of your keywords, like, get ready to shell out some coin. But in Bing, you can go out and try a whole bunch of different keywords. It's cheaper. They're not going to be as strict when it comes to some of the guidelines. So it's really kind of a better playground to go from. So I've got a philosophy that I call the search marketing spear. At the head, the point of the spear, you know, you can imagine a spear. Mm-hmm. Nice and sharpened into a point. If you're trying to go through a barrier, you need to have that very specific and sharp point to be able to open up for the rest of it. So at the tip of that spear is Bing for new market entry. Then you need to follow on with Google and Yahoo, entering the markets there, maybe translating some of the results and learnings that you have from Bing into those other marketplaces. And then you'll want to start going into more complex kind of search things, probably a little bit out of the realm of this discussion.
Cool. Yeah, because when I saw it, like I said, it was like, what? And then when I watched the video, it was like, that makes perfect sense. Why hasn't other people said that yet? Because I'm deal with people and they're on budgets. And I was like, that's perfect. Because they don't have a lot of money to play around in Google. And I was like, this is just brilliant. I was like, I don't know why no one has done this before. So.
Well, I appreciate that.
But it just made perfect sense to me. I was like, okay, perfect. So, yeah, I haven't played with... How is Google, being compared to Google in the search? Is it similar to their interfaces? Is it... Because I have not played... I've played a little bit with Google, but not with Bing. Yep.
Now on Google, you can bid on all three simultaneously and assign each of those a different trackable URL so that, you know, each catches kind of a different, more broad net of traffic around a particular keyword. And, you know, and in robust, kind of mature campaigns, you might have all three being advertised on, and each keyword variation being bid to its own wherewithal to produce sales or leads. In MSN, you do have all three match types, but you can't assign a different trackable URL to each match type. So you either have to pick one or pick all three and advertise on all three simultaneously. So that's one kind of little thing. But the interfaces are a little bit different. The tool sets are a little bit different. For each of these things, for all three engines, Google, Yahoo, and MSN, you should download their desktop software. So Google has AdWords Editor. Microsoft Bing has AdCenter Desktop Edition, which is only for PCs, unfortunately. But I'm a Mac guy, which means I have to run a virtual machine to access.
I'm a Mac guy, too, so that's like, oh.
Yeah, painful. And then for Yahoo, you have the Yahoo Desktop Editor. But caveat with Yahoo is your accounts have to be at a certain spend level before they'll even really give you access to that inside of your account, which is kind of a, you know, it's actually, in my mind, it's kind of a stupid move on Yahoo's part to keep people from having access to tools that will allow them to unleash more spend in their account. But, hey, that's their decision. So.
True. Cool. That's very cool. Yeah, I'm going to tell a few people about that now. It's like, that's perfect. It's like, go play in Bing first. That's great advice. That's great advice. So I guess we'll wrap it up there. I want to thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Timothy. I hope you and your listeners get some good value out of some stuff you can implement.
Definitely. Can you tell the people where to find you online?
Sure. You can go to my website. It's charleslumpkin.com, and that's where I run my agency out of, Charles Lumpkin & Partners. I've got a handful of guys here that work with me in town, and, you know, it's a good business.
Cool. Well, thank you again.
All right, Timothy. Well, you have a good one now.
Thank you for listening to Marketing Elements Podcast. You can reach me at tim@marketingelementsblog.com. You can find us on the web at marketingelementsblog.com. Look for us on Facebook or find us on Ning. It's marketingelements.ning.com. Thanks again, and we'll have another podcast out to you very soon.